Hello and welcome to our start-stop reflection from St. Stephen Walbrook, when we stop for a few minutes and start to reflect on a passage from Scripture. This week the church remembers Hilda, a member of a Saxon royal family born in a violent period when history was carved up under the leadership of warrior kings. Hilda shunned the influence of her genes and turned to a life of peace and reconciliation, leading by relationship, not retaliation. She became abbess of Whitby and led her monastery through a time of great change for the church in the north of England, implementing Roman rather than the Celtic practices which she preferred. In our Bible reading today, Jesus shows the disciples an image of leadership which all Christians aspire to follow, and one which, I think, Hilda achieved. Our Bible reading is from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13, beginning at verse 12. After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The washing of the disciples' feet is one of the most vivid visual illustrations of the servant leadership of Jesus. This event is recalled in many churches on the Thursday before Easter, often physically reenacted with the priest washing the feet of members of the congregation. Jesus is Lord, but also a foot washer, a servant, and he tells the disciples to act likewise. According to Keith Lambdin, an expert on leadership, what should make Christian leaders distinctive is that they do just that, seek to live and lead others as disciples of Jesus. He divides leadership styles into two groups. The first share what he calls a salvation stance. The monarch or warrior leader, hero figures who set out to save their people. Both, in different ways, engender an unconscious contract of dependency between leader and their followers. Most businesses, he remarks, are led by either a warrior or a monarch leader. The other leadership classifications identified by Keith Lambdin, the servant leader, the elder, the contemplative, and the prophet, share what he terms a revelatory stance. These leaders are more collaborative in outlook, leading out of relationship and not coercion. Keith Lambdin places Jesus in the servant leadership mould and finds a perfect fit. But, he suggests, many leaders in the church operate from a salvation stance as monarchs or warriors, rather than the revelatory stance of the servant Jesus. Someone who seems to have been an exception to that rule is Hilda of Whitby, who the church remembers this week. She was born into a family of warrior monarchs, but became a servant leader. As Ray Simpson, founder of the community of Aidan and Hilda, has written, her family loved power obtained by violence. Hilda empowered people through love. Hilda's father, who'd been king of an area to the north of the Humber, was poisoned just before she was born in 614. The young Hilda became a refugee, fleeing with her mother. She eventually returned to live with her uncle Edwin, and it was while staying with him in York that she was baptized by Bishop Paulinus. After Edwin's death, Hilda fled to her sister in East Anglia. It was at that time that she met Aidan, Bishop of Northumbria, with whom she formed a close relationship. Aidan was very different to Paulinus. Trained in the Irish or Celtic tradition, he wore simple clothes and refused to ride a horse because most people couldn't afford one. The Harvard professor Bill George has said that the best leaders all have a formative experience, a crucible moment in their lives when clear passions were burned into their souls. Perhaps this was Hilda's. It was at this time that she decided to become a nun. With Aidan's support, she established a religious community north of the River Weir, and after his death became Abbess of Whitby. It was here, in 664, that she hosted one of the defining episodes in the establishment of the English Church, the Synod of Whitby. King Oswy had called the synod to decide whether Northumbria should follow the practices of Rome, exemplified by bishops like Paulinus, or to continue in the Celtic practices of Aidan and his successors. There was no disagreement on matters of doctrine, but of practice, particularly the date of Easter. By this time, King Oswy was married to Hilda's cousin Enfleda. He observed the Celtic tradition and she the Roman, which meant he could be celebrating Easter while she was still observing Lent. King Oswy invited both sides to Whitby to present their case, although many consider he'd made up his mind in advance to side with his wife. Keith Lambton identifies some of the characteristics of servant leadership as the ability to listen receptively, accept others, exert a healing influence, and build community. Gifts Hilda must have had by the bucket load in order to successfully manage the various personalities arriving for the synod, along with their teams of assistants and translators. The Venerable Bede provides an account of the proceedings. Wilfrid, Abbot of Ripon, spoke for the Roman side and is portrayed as the most persuasive, asking how men on a corner of a small island could be preferred over the rest of the universal church. Did Jesus say to Columba, as he said to St. Peter, "On this rock I will build my church"? He scoffed. Eventually, the delegates voted. Hilda could have abstained, but Bede records her declaring in favour of the Celtic tradition she'd come to know, against the clear preference of her cousin and others who ruled the kingdom. Oswy sided with his wife and found in favour of Roman practices. Almost immediately, 30 monks from Lindisfarne, who'd been trained by Aidan, left for Ireland. Hilda decided to stay, to put in place the liturgical changes and routines determined by the synod. Once again in life, Hilda found herself alone, a refugee, this time from the familiar traditions she held dear. Hilda's last words before she died in November 680 are a testament to a life of one who as a leader sought unity in diversity and respected difference. Preserve the peace of the gospel among yourselves and also with all others. Lord, help us to shine a light on the darkness in our lives. Guide us as we search for those crucible moments in which our passions become clear. Help us to break free from all that holds us back from sharing your love in the world. We pray for all those in authority. May they lead by relationship and not coercion, by support and not control. May they recognize the gifts of others and develop them. Encourage them in their work. Make known your love through their ministry. We pray that your kingdom may come despite everything that seems to fight against it, a kingdom in which the first are last and the last first, in which all people live together in justice and harmony. Amen. Thank you for listening to our Start Stop Reflection this week. Do check out our website for information about services and events in the week ahead, and Start Stop will return again next week.